So we have Jesus in Mark's Gospel journeying to Jerusalem. He's at Jericho. When he left the Galilee district, according to Mark, on the beginning of his journey, he cured another blind person. But that wasn't an instantaneous, miraculous cure. It was a gradual cure. And now we have Jesus getting closer to Jerusalem. He is at Jericho. Jericho was the city, the first city that was taken over by the Hebrews when they left Egypt. As they came into the Promised Land across the Jordan River, they went straight into Jericho. So Jesus is at this starting point, if you like, of the place of the Promised Land. And he's got a crowd with him, so they are on their way to Passover, to celebrate Passover. Now, Mark's Gospel is our oldest gospel, so the way that things are recorded and the things that happen were monumental in the life of the early church. There were lots of other writings that did not make it into the canon of scripture that we call the Bible. But Mark's Gospel made it in because the events that happened and the way that they were recorded were remembered so closely by the people. And today we have the second scene of a blind man being cured, but instantaneously this time. So if I remember and look into Mark's early community, the early Christian community, I'm looking for things like, what is this trying to tell that community so that I can then apply it in my own life? And ultimately, we would be saying out of Mark's Gospel today, we would be wanting to hear Jesus say to us, what is it you want me to do for you? That's what you need to take away with you this evening, is to actually ask Jesus for that thing. What is it you want him to do for you? Because he has come to us. And it's a whole life examination. But it's very important, if nothing else, what is it that I want Jesus to do for me? And that might change as we vary through the stages of our life. This man could see, and now he is disabled because he cannot see. So whatever he had in his community and family is now gone because he would have been cast out. Now, unlike being born blind, that would have been seen as some kind of punishment from God, or lame. It would have been if you were born that way. But with blindness in biblical times, he gradually became blind, probably because of hygiene, lack of hygiene, I should say. And so he lost his eyesight. Now, when one loses their eyesight, scripture always interpreted as it goes back to the Garden of Eden. It goes back to the creation of the world. Because before there was light, there was darkness. There was a void, we're told. So this person isn't blind. He wasn't perceived as blind because of sin. He was blind because he now was in the realm before creation. He was in the realm of the dark. And so people would have looked at him differently, and that's why they spoke to him differently. They like all of us, he's called out to Jesus, those famous lines, Jesus, Son of David. That's the beginning of what we know as the Jesus Prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. That is probably the most famous prayer in Christianity, particularly in the Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me, or have mercy on me, a sinner. We should say it all day long, all day long. And this fellow has said it twice. The crowd tell him to shut up, and he goes on again. And then Jesus calls to him and says, call him. So the people, and don't we recognise this in our life, the people who were abusing him now are the ones saying, come closer. He's called you. He hasn't called us. He's called you. So they want part of the action. It's a little bit like what we heard in the gospel last week with James and John. They wanted a bit of the glory. So they said, come on. But after that, they then said courage, which is a really important word in this context. He has a great need. We have a great need. He calls out to Jesus. We should call out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, come, tell him to come. So he comes, and then Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? So there's a conversation that takes place, and the man simply asks to be able to see again. Jesus then says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So the man then throws off his cloak. And you might just think, well, he's that excited. I hope he goes back to get it. The throwing off the cloak is what happens when we are baptized. So the early church, the early Markan community, we throw off the old self and we actually physically put on a new white garment at baptism. We still do it here in this church with infants. They have a little white robe put over them. So they put on the new robe of being a co-traveller with Jesus. They become part of the way. And so that's why Mark is sitting there. And then he followed him. And the blind man becomes the model for all of us. Once we have that conversation with Jesus, we listen and we encounter, we have our sight restored. So this man becomes very symbolic, Bartimaeus does, because the other people were with Jesus but did not know him. They were blinded. Bartimaeus was blind, but he didn't have his sight. He had insight. And that's the difference. He could identify who Jesus was. His faith was that powerful, that strong. If only we could have a tiny bit of that strength in our own faith, we too would have great insight. We too would be able to turn around as we journey on life, and we could put the names to the faces of the people who ridicule us, who persecute us. We could put names to the faces of the hungry and the poor and the destitute and the disabled and the persecuted. Our insight would allow us to come closer to those people and say, courage. Your faith has saved you. That's where we have to get to. But I think a lot of the time we actually lack the courage and we lack the insight. But we are 2021 years beyond when Mark wrote his gospel, beyond when Mark's community was living. We should have great insight, and a lot of the time we do. We are very aware of what's going on around us and very aware of what's going on in the world, but we lack the courage too often to step up and make a difference. We are very, very comfortable, it seems to me, most of us, as being drawn along as opposed to making our own way along the way with Jesus. There are times when we get a burst of energy, certainly, particularly at significant times during the course of our life. And that is reflected in our sacraments, the seven sacraments of the church, which come to us from baptism, of course, but at those significant points in our life. And so the sacraments of initiation, as I mentioned last week, baptism, Eucharist, constantly being fed on the journey, and then confirmation. And confirmation, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the seven gifts, is courage. So you may need to just reflect even on who was your confirmation saint? Why did you choose that person? Why did they inspire you? If your memory will let you go back that far. And I have said to you before, I chose Matthew as my confirmation name, and it coincided with so many things. I chose Matthew because he wrote a gospel and I was working in the newspaper world. He came from the outside, Matthew did, to the inside. I came in from the outside of the church, inside the church, in my early 20s. And whilst I've never written a gospel, I've certainly wrote a lot back in those days. And then, as it turned out, the priest that baptized me and confirmed me on the one day, that was his ordination anniversary. And what was the date? It was the 21st of September. And that's the Feast of St. Matthew as well. So a lot of the stars aligned up for me. It gave me great insight, if you like. So certainly I had my eyes opened, but then once my heart was opened, I was able then to exercise the courage to say, this is where I need to be. And thanks be to God, or for better, for worse, for you, I am here now. 36 years later, as a priest anyway. So the insights that we gain during the journey of our life, it is at those times that our courage gets boosted. Sometimes those things are painful, and that's the crowd having a go at this fellow. That's what all that represents. Our courage sees beyond that, allows us to see beyond that. Our courage allows us, as I said, to turn around and take in, to notice the world around us, the individuals who do not have the faith or the courage at the moment, who do not have the ability to walk along the road because they may have no food to keep them going. They may be completely on their own. They have no company. And that may be why Mark gives this blind man a name. It's the only miracle that is recorded where a name is given, Bartimaeus. And we might start to put our name in there. Give me back my sight, so that I might have greater insight and then exercise greater courage in my weak faith. It was Augustine who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.